For those of you that are new here, my name is Dave, and it's just great to be together this morning, this afternoon, whatever you call 12 o'clock. And it's good to be together, and I want to welcome not only all of you, but particularly those that raised your hand earlier, because you are our guest here today. It's great for you to join us, and we trust that you get a sense of some of the things that God is doing among us this morning as we celebrate what is called our Vision Sunday. See, typically, we are found in our two services on Sunday morning, going through the exposition of God's Word. Now, that's just a kind of a fancy theological way to say that we are about taking portions of Scripture and explaining and interpreting them and proclaiming them consistent with the intent of the original authors. But this morning, today, we're doing something a little bit different, because a few years back, we dedicated our first Sunday of every new year to the vision of the church. We want to talk a little bit about some of the things that God has done over the past year and some of the things that God is positioning us to do in the coming year as well. And if you're here as a guest, this is actually a great time to be here, because it's going to give you the opportunity to get a little glimpse of the family behind the celebration. Now, I love to go to weddings, and one of the things that I love about going to weddings is that I get an opportunity to meet some of the family behind the ceremony. So it's always interesting to intentionally greet the grandfather and the grandmother and get to know some of the, you know, the weird uncles and the cousins with such textured personalities, because it gives you a sense of the family behind the ceremony, the family behind the celebration. Well, I guess that's what this is this morning. You're going to have an opportunity as a guest to meet some of the family behind the celebration, and I'm so grateful that you're here. Now, the format's going to be relatively simple. I'm going to share a few thoughts, and then we're going to go into a video that's going to review 2007, and then Andy's going to come, and he's going to share some pastoral thoughts reflecting on the past year. And then Mark's going to come and Jim's going to come talking about some of the things that God is doing in us and through us in 2008 as we look forward. And then Jared's going to come and wrap things up. So it's going to be a great time together. And I want to just stop and I want to pray and ask God to be with us and for God to glorify His name through this service. So would you pray with me, please? Lord, as we reflect back upon this past year, and as we look forward to 2008, and just consider the things that you have done, that you are doing, and that it appears you want to do, Lord, we pray that you would provide an opportunity today to lift our eyes above this one local church and to be able to glorify your name for your works among us. Lord, we pray that people would leave today not thinking what a great local church Covenant Fellowship is, but thinking what a great Savior we serve. So exalt thy name today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, thinking over this past year and pondering this upcoming year is something of an exhilarating exercise, because as I thought about the past year, I thought it really does seem like we have been on an exciting adventure that started out, at least in the beginning of 2007, seeming like hoping that it was going to be more of a cruise, only to discover that God had a different kind of voyage in mind, that God had more of an adventure in mind, an adventure on the high seas, if you will, or like we're being beamed up onto the Starship Enterprise on its five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to reach out to new life and new civilization. Have you ever had that feeling in your Christian life? Like you've been beamed up and you're heading to a place that you didn't expect to go? See, this last year took us on an exciting journey, most of it delightful, some surprises as well. But I think that's what happens when families travel together. God surprises us by taking us to unexpected places. How many of you remember Celebration? We used to go to every year as a local church. Celebration. How many ever been to the Celebration event? Guests are sitting here wondering, what in the world is Celebration? Each year, for probably 18 or 19 years, This church joined with the other Sovereign Grace churches in the northeastern quadrant of the United States in Indiana, Pennsylvania, and gathered together over Memorial Day weekend for a celebration. We received teaching, we had fellowship, and we all stayed in the dormitories that were there around the campus. And one of the exciting features of staying in the dormitory is you never really knew where the men's room and where the women's room was going to be, because they had to switch them on every other floor, and sometimes on the floor that you thought was the men's room would be a poster or something taped over to make it the women's room. And so they'd change it every year, so you were ever disoriented in going to celebration. Well, I had an interesting experience one year where I was walking towards the men's room, and I could hear the men in there screaming, shouting, yelling to one another. And as I reached for the door to go into the men's room, a woman from the church walked out. I'll call her Blanche. Okay, Blanche walked out of the men's room. And she looked like she had seen a ghost. She looked like she had seen something she didn't expect. And she was walking out, and I said, "Blanche, what a surprise to see you here. How are you? Welcome to celebration." And she just said, "I can't believe it. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I did this. I went to go to the women's room and I went into the men's room." And she said, "Now I'm so embarrassed. I don't know what to do." And then she said, "I think I'm just going to go right back to my room and pack my clothes and go right home." This was the first day of celebration. And so I said to her, "Oh, Blanche," I said, "people do this every year. I've done it. My wife has done it. My kids have done it. We've all done it. You're just the first person to do it this year. It's really no big deal. It's no problem whatsoever." And so I'm kind of walking with her down the hall. She said, "Really?" And, "Yeah. Oh, yeah, Blanche, it's no problem. Really? People have done it before?" "Oh, yeah, it's no problem, Blanche, really." And she said, "Oh, okay." And she's kind of walking away, and she looks over her shoulder, and she says, I guess we really are a family after all." Yes, that's right, Blanche. We really are a family after all. And I think that's part of what happens when families travel. They end up in unexpected places. They end up with surprises. God is faithful to surprise us in unexpected ways. That story, I think, is a great reality, a great metaphor for the reality of what happens when families travel, because it's not like the commercials make it out to be, you know, where you have the family, the mom, the dad, the kids tucked in neatly, comfortably cruising down the highway. They're all sitting in their seats, and there's classical music playing on the radio or classic rock playing on the radio, and everybody is saying what they should say, and everybody is doing what they should do. It's not like that at all. It's more like the bathroom scene, I think, where the family, whether it's our family or it's the church family, the family is a place where we see each other without adornment, where we see each other as we really are. It's the place where doors get slammed and our agendas for each other, our agendas for ourselves, our agendas for God end up getting exposed. And that's the way it should be, because we see each other. And we're supposed to do that we might grow and change and glorify God all the more. A family is a place where we discover who we're not, so God can inspire us with who we're called to be. So to accomplish this, God sends us on a journey. He sends us on a journey together, and he surprises us by taking us to some unexpected places. I was just talking with a brother and sister this past week who was just coming back from the Jersey Shore, driving back from the Jersey Shore back to Philadelphia, and they took a wrong turn and didn't realize it until they were outside of New York City. Brother was sleeping, the sister driving but not paying attention, and New York City is getting closer and closer and closer. Now, that's the kind of thing that happens when families travel together. We make our plans, we aim our vehicles, but God has surprises for us, and he guides us to unexpected places. We're aiming at Philadelphia, but we end up outside of New York City, and who wants to make that exchange? There's a proverb that I was reading earlier this week, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, that says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." In other words, we make our plans, and we should. We make our plans. We establish our objectives, our goals. And sometimes the journey goes the way that we hope it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But as we look back year after year after year, we're always amazed at how faithful God has been to us each and every year. And we discover afresh each and every year how amazing grace really is. And so we carry into each new year a promise that's expressed right here in Proverbs chapter 16, that the Lord will establish our steps. He'll take our plans, He'll take our goals and our objectives, which are good things to have, and He'll plan surprises for us. He'll take us to unexpected places. But in all of that, He will establish our steps. Because God's promise is that even when we travel to unexpected places, God is already there. 2007 was a remarkable year for the people, for the family of Covenant Fellowship Church. And part of what we wanted to do this morning is celebrate God's grace among us and in us. And to kind of kick that off, Doug Nottage has once again captured the family in action through a video that he's put together. And you're really going to enjoy this. It's about a five-minute video. It's going to start in just a second. After that video, Andy's going to come up and he's going to take one of these seats and he's going to share his own pastoral interpretation of the past year. And Mark is going to come, and then Jim is going to come, and then Jared is going to come. But in all of these things, what we're trying to do is to elevate our eyes so that we can see God, so that we can exalt in the God who surprises, exalt in the God who's always faithful, exalt in the God who is at work establishing our steps as we move forward. Yeah, there's been some unexpected surprises and unexpected places that we have traveled and we will travel. But I think Blanche said it best as she was walking out of the men's room. We really are a family after all.
You know, when I watch that video, two things come to mind. One is, wow, we have been a busy church this past year. And I know what's going on in that video represents only a fraction of our life together in 2007. There's nothing there about Alpha, the Alpha conference we hosted, our Vital Life classes, about the Clash, Invest and Grow, about Compass, about my amazing guitar performances on Christmas Eve. Okay, I can check that one off. Okay. But you get the point. Years ago, our church logo was Covenant Fellowship on a Mission. How many people remember that? The longer I'm here, the more I marvel at the many and diverse ways God has shown Himself faithful on our mission, the things He's allowed us to experience and allowed us to do, His kindness over us. The other thought that came to me was this. Where else could you see a video like this? Where else could you see people gathering together, having fun, enjoying life, making memories? Well, to be honest, the first place I thought was Disney World. Disney World does this very well. People together, having fun, making memories. They sell Disney World with videos like this. Then I thought about more local and close to home. I thought about my son's soccer league and baseball league and how all these families there, and you sort of have this idea that you could call a video a family that plays together, stays together. Just put a little Rascal Flatts underneath it on the soundtrack, and you'd be ready to go. And so the question comes to me, what makes the 2 minutes or so we just saw matter? And it takes me back to what Dave said earlier. We're a family. Not just because the Cullies are married to Wardinis, who are married to Carries, who are married to Komorowskis, who are married to Lomans, who are married to Machowskis, and on and on and on. Lord knows where that's going to stop. We gather here together as God's family. Chosen and redeemed in His Son, accepted by God the Father as His beloved children. We're joined together in eternal bonds of family. We've been brought together as a tangible household of faith here at Covenant Fellowship. But the center of that family is not a place or an experience or a set of family-friendly programs. The center of our family, this family, is the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You see, the unavoidable truth, there's nothing in that video, none of our experience or memories from 2007 would have any lasting meaning whatsoever if the Lord wasn't the center of it all. What defines us as a family, what makes our experience different from Disney World or Little League, is, as Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, this is important to keep in mind as we look ahead to 2008. Over the next year, we're going to be called a constituency. We're going to be called a voting bloc. We're going to be called an interest group. We're going to be wooed by some, debated by others, analyzed by everybody, criticized. People will talk about our values as if they're our political preferences. But we're not religious conservatives. We're God's people, God's redeemed and adopted children. And here in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, that means we are a local church called Covenant Fellowship. There's one other thing that most people don't see, and that video can portray, but it can't really capture. Who we are together mostly takes place beyond this building. That's where we live as family. Now, sometimes it's organized contexts like community groups, but mostly it's house to house, minivan to minivan, and cell phone call to cell phone call, and email to email. This is where we celebrate. This is where we are equipped. But out there is really, well, where we build together, and it's where we suffer together. Where we lose our job and others help us pay our bills. Where we have a difficult pregnancy and others step in to help with our kids. Where our house burns down and others step in to rescue our memories. Where we stumble and others help us to keep walking. Where loved ones die and we stand with each other in times of grief. And we end this year adjusting to the fact that some dear friends have decided to build elsewhere. And that's hard. It's hard for me. We'll miss them, and you know, we know that life does change when people are no longer with us and building with us here. But we know that no one who's in God's family will ever fall out of God's family. That His promise and His glory depends on Him keeping it. These experiences of people leaving should have the effect of increasing our longing for a day when all God's people gather together before His throne and for His glory. And they should remind us of the precious gift of our local church. Imperfect, yes, we're imperfect, but we're bearing fruit and having impact for God's glory. 2007 was about bearing fruit and having impact for God's glory. And by God's grace, that'll be our experience in 2008 as well. I like the way that Dave described it. The adventure of life in the family of God includes surprising and unexpected turns. But they're never surprising and unexpected to God. We've got plans, that you'll be hearing about. But God's plan is what we look forward to seeing unfold. That's what defines the people of God. People of God are people of God's plan. So as we look ahead together, remember this. This is not Disney World. It's infinitely and eternally better. It's our church. Thank you for being our church.
Probably like you, as I've watched that video and listened to Andy, I'm just very aware of God's goodness, even to me personally, for Jill and I and our children. Just how we've experienced God's grace through this local church this year has just been truly amazing to us. And we just look forward to the grace that we're going to experience together as a church family. For our guests, by the way, my name is Mark. I'm really the weird uncle that Dave mentioned earlier on the pastoral team, and we're just glad that you're with us today. The guys on the team have given Jim and me this wonderful task of telling you just about some of the things we've been thinking about and have planned for 2008. And one of those is this. We just got news that the How Good Are You track, the one that Jim and Stefan and Matt designed and that we use all the time, has just been translated into another language, and that is Latvian. Of all languages, I think we've got a slide actually of the Latvian How Good Are You track. I thought we did. Oh, there it is. Good. Now, we have a decision to make. I can either read this to you in Latvian, or Jim can do his whole slot speaking in Latvian. Which would you prefer? I would vote for Jim giving it in Latvian. Is that good for you guys? Okay, great. Jim, you can just share in Latvian. Thank you very much for doing that. Listen, another exciting thing that you were just hearing a little bit about last week is that the Proclaim course is now available on DVD. And if you're a guest, you're probably wondering, what's Proclaim? Well, Proclaim is an evangelism training course that our own Jim Donahue and Stefan Bomberger have put together that really equip us as a church to reach out to the lost and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these guys have done just a great job of assembling not only solid material. What they've done is they've converted it to a DVD format so it can have broader use, which is just a great use of the AVL equipment that we installed this year. Now, if you were here last week, you heard that the Proclaim DVDs are now available, and you saw just a bit of a clip to tell you a little bit about what it's going to be like. But if you weren't here last week, we thought you should see a clip to kind of give you an idea, not only of the quality of the DVD, but the content of the material as well. So if we could roll that, that'd be great.
It is. Well, how would you answer it if somebody just posed it to you?
I think most people are really a five because, you know, you're in between. You know, you're a human being. It's not like you're an angel or a devil. Most people will make mistakes.
Okay. I'd be about a five right now.
Somewhere in the middle.
I'm about 50-50.
So where would you say that you would fall? One to ten?
Probably five.
Five?
And I would give myself a nine.
Give yourself a nine?
Because you know what? I would give somebody my last penny in my pocket.
I would put myself on a ten.
Ten?
I'd say eight.
Five.
A five?
Yeah.
It's between four and a six, depending on the day.
Four and six, why do you say that?
Because I am in the big favor of sometimes evil is not always bad, and sometimes good is bad.
What we found is, and we have this in the book, it says usually people give themselves a six or seven.
Oh, no.
Look at that.
No.
See that? So don't feel like you're in bad company.
Sure.
So here's what they think. They think, I'm not as good as some people. I mean, I'm not Mother Teresa, right? But at least I've never murdered anyone. God knows I'm a pretty good person, and because of this, he will accept me into heaven. Is that, do you think that's about where you're at?
I wouldn't go to hell. I don't know. I haven't done anything really, really bad.
Well, knowing that I'm a devout Christian and that I pray to God for my sins every night and every morning when I wake up, I'm going straight through the pearly gates, sweetheart.
I'm not into like a whole heaven thing, but I believe that I'm a good person. I base myself on like my own morals.
You can't say where you're going. You can only hope that you're going to heaven.
I see.
That you did enough right deeds.
Okay, I see.
Isn't that great? First of all, that clip. What's so great about Proclaim is not only is the material doctrinally sound, as you can see from the clip, it's very practical as well. The course teaches you how to use the How Good You Tract, as they were there, to reach out to the lost and begin a dialogue about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're very excited about taking these DVDs and going through them as a church this year. In fact, we're going to be doing that through our community group meetings beginning in February. And not only are we doing it, there are other churches across Sovereign Grace Ministries that are using them. And the feedback and the fruit that we're hearing is only sort of created an excitement for us to look forward to us benefiting from the Proclaim DVDs. So please pray for that time and look forward to that in community group. Another thing that I just get to tell you about is that Dave Harvey, our senior pastor, who's served us so well over the last 22 years, and for our guests, 18 of those have been in serving us as a senior pastor, is actually going to be taking a sabbatical this summer. What we're learning as a pastoral team is that a man like Dave, with his position and with the responsibilities that he has, sabbaticals just become more and more necessary for him to fulfill his role. And there are several things that are converging at one time that made this year ideal for Dave to take a couple of months for a sabbatical. One of those would be his new responsibilities with Sovereign Grace, where he just needs to devote some focused time to those responsibilities for a period of time. But not only will he be serving Sovereign Grace, he's going to be serving us as a church family. He's going to devote some time to strategic planning for our future as a church. He also has a number of themes and topics on a list that he wants to study, and then he's going to spend some time, get this, writing a new book as well. I mean, one of the ways we've enjoyed God's goodness over this last year has been just watching how Dave's book, When Sinners Say I Do, has enjoyed this broad credibility and success, certainly beyond Covenant Fellowship. And based on its reception and its success, there are several publishers like Crossway and Multnomah, who've approached Dave about writing another book. And we're just very, very excited to release him to do that. So we want to do that by allowing him to take a sabbatical and get some time to study and to plan and to write. And so that sabbatical will start at the beginning of May and last probably till about the middle of June. And it's intended to release Dave from his day-to-day Covenant Fellowship ministry responsibilities so he can spend focused time on those things that I just mentioned. But if you would do this as a church, would you pray for Dave? And would you pray for the time that he has on this sabbatical, that God would really use it in some wonderful ways? Earlier, Dave mentioned surprising turns. At times we can feel like we're headed towards Philadelphia and realize we're closer to New York City. Another surprising place that we find ourselves as a church family is this. For about the last year and a half, we as a pastoral team have been kicking around this crazy idea that we just now want to begin to draw you in on. And that crazy idea is this. We think it might be helpful for us to consider changing the name of our church to include Sovereign Grace in any new name that we might come up with. Now, we realize that thinking about changing the name can sort of have that wow effect in our lives. In fact, as a pastoral team, we kind of thought, can we really do that? But as we talked a little bit more, we realized, boy, I think God's leading us here. And we thought a good next step before making any decision was to draw you in. And so we want your input, and we need your feedback in anything that we're considering. What we thought would be helpful is to give you just a glimpse of some of the conversations that we've been having over the last 18 months. For example, as you would know, Covenant Fellowship Church is simply a wonderful name. But over the years, we've just begun to realize that it has some limitations and some challenges. And so we realized that because folks were coming to us a bit confused about the name. They would ask us questions like, what's a Covenant Fellowship? Or they would say to us, I thought a fellowship was a church and a church was a fellowship. That sounds redundant to me. Or they might say to us, because covenant is in your name, does that mean that you as a church teach covenant theology? See, as we thought about it, we realized that Sovereign Grace is a name that's a little easier to understand and more accurately defines who we are as a church theologically. We also thought that this might be a wonderful opportunity to identify a little bit more closely with Sovereign Grace Ministries. You see, a new name that has potentially Sovereign Grace in it gives us a stronger association with that family of churches that we've come to love. You're aware of the growing favor and really the growing influence that Sovereign Grace Ministries is having across evangelicalism in our country today. And so what's happening is that people are starting to look for Sovereign Grace churches. They're on the web. They're looking in the yellow pages. They're searching for Sovereign Grace churches. And so if we've got Sovereign Grace in our name, we're going to be much easier to find. Now, we recognize that changing our name isn't easy. It's not an easy thing to consider because for most of us, Covenant Fellowship is an endearing name. It holds wonderful memories for us. It might be the place where we first heard the gospel and were born again. Maybe it's here, the Covenant Fellowship, where you've been baptized. Maybe you've met your spouse here, been married here. We've raised our children together here. These are wonderful memories that we have as a church family. Memories we never want to forget. But at the same time, we think that a new name might actually serve us better as a church family. See, our experience tells us that that can happen. Our experience tells us that name changes actually can bring more clarity to who we are. So we've experienced it here. For example, we've changed our small groups over the years from home groups to what? Care groups to now community groups. As a family of churches, we were called one time People of Destiny International. Aren't you glad we changed that name? To PDI. And no one could really figure out what the acronym stood for, right? To now Sovereign Grace Ministries, which is a name we believe that will endure. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, if we're putting Sovereign Grace into the name, doesn't that mean that we're becoming really a denomination? And if that's a question that's banging around your head, that is a great question. I feel like the answer is simple. First of all, we're a family of churches. We're not a denomination. There's not a denominational headquarters where there's some sort of decision that's being handed down to us. I mean, even though CJ is bald, we've determined he's not our pope, for example. In fact, Sovereign Grace Ministries, as a family of churches and as an organization, strongly believes what Scripture teaches, that the local church governs itself through local elders. And so really, it's our decision. And we as the elders, we want you to be a part of that decision. So I've given you some thoughts on behalf of the team of what we've been thinking. What we want you to do is tell us what you think. What do you think about a name change? In fact, if you come up with a better name or any better names, please send those to them. We really want to hear. Give us your suggestions. Here's what we want you to know. We want and we need your input. So grab us on a Sunday morning and talk to us. Send us an email. Call us on the phone. Use the website to send us your feedback. But please do that. And by the way, you know, we're not in any hurry to do this. We just want to allow God to lead us, and we just thought the best next step was to involve you. So thank you ahead of time for giving us your input. Well, before Jim comes now, let me just say on behalf of the pastoral team, thank you for the way that you support us as pastors. You as a church just do a wonderful job of making our role in leading and pastoring you a real joy. So thank you so much.
I have some exciting news as well. As many of you have guessed, I had surgery on my shoulder. Some people thought it was a skateboarding accident. Some people thought a home project disaster. Some people have thought it was a tree fort kind of disaster. None of those things. Actually, it's a long-term dream. It's actually a New Year's resolution that I determined to do this year. I've always had a dream to play in the NFL. So in order to do that, I had to have reconstructive surgery on my shoulder so that I can quarterback. So it'll be a little bit of rehab. Please pray for me, and hopefully I just hope I'm not too old, but I might be. Well, what an amazing journey God has us on, and He continues to surprise us by taking us to unexpected places. One surprise is the wonderful favor that God has shown us in our children's ministry curriculum, God's Story. It really has been amazing. Did you know that over 70 churches, both inside and outside Sovereign Grace, are using this curriculum for their children's ministry every single Sunday? And that's not all. New Growth Press, which is a Christian publishing company, they want to require the rights, the publishing rights, the entire body of work that has been developed for God's Story, which includes the Sword Bible Memory, the coloring books. They want to make a DVD for children's ministry leaders, an interactive website with all sorts of God's Story stuff on it. And in the contract, as we've looked it over, they even have a signing bonus in there for Marty Michalski. So this is the real deal. I'm going to be representing him in his contract. Yeah, amen. Amen. So we're very thrilled about how God is using that. We've also had an exciting year with some of our newer ministries. As you know, ECF, our Exploring Covenant Fellowship class, got an extreme makeover. We've really seen some fruit in that class. It's really grown. In fact, in one of the courses this year, we couldn't fit everyone. We had a waiting list of about 20 folks that had to wait until the next course. We've never had that happen before. This past August, we had 130 people register for our Grow course, and Grow is our initial discipleship course, and we can only take about 75, so we've already have about 50 or 60 folks signed up for their course that'll be starting later on this year. We also have a ministry that we started called Invest, which is part of our leadership development. It's designed really to produce new leaders. We had 40 folks go through that last year, and out of that, we deployed 12 new community group leaders, more than we ever have, and we were so thrilled about that and what that represents for our future. Another new ministry that we started is Financial Peace University, and we're very excited about this. We've always wanted to really address this issue in a systematic and thorough way and help folks with their finances, and we kind of stumbled across this course, reviewed it thoroughly, and decided we'd start it up. We thought we might get 40 folks or so that came out to the first one. We had 100 people that came out to our first FPU, and we just started our second class last week with 130 participants. We literally have no room for this course. It has already produced wonderful fruit in the church. I love hearing folks talk about how it's already helping them with their finances, even with their marriages. It's been amazing, and it has tremendous outreach potential as well, which we haven't even tapped into. So we're really excited to see some of the turns that God might have for us with that Financial Peace course this year. We've also been wonderfully surprised this year at a growing attendance. We're up almost 9% over last year in our attendance. At Christmas Eve, we had standing room only. We literally ran out of seats at Christmas Eve. And with the growth all around us, the town center over here and Marist Grove and the hospital going in, it's probably only a matter of time before we have to take the wall down to be able to accommodate the folks. And that gives me an opportunity to just say thank you to all of you for the way that you have reached out and invited folks to this church. It really is exciting to see what God has done. Covenant Mercies just passed its fifth birthday back in September. They currently have a staff of 3 full-time and 1 part-time employees, and they're spearheading many ministries, as you know, both locally as well as internationally. So we're doing things locally like an after-school tutoring program in Chester. We have prison ministry, nursing home ministries, and others. But God has really expanded the international side of things. We have an orphan sponsorship program that began in 2003, and we're now sponsoring over 700 children in Zambia and in Uganda. In just a few days, Doug Hayes, the director of Covenant Mercies, will be taking off on another trip to Africa. He'll be visiting 3 countries, Uganda, Zambia, and Ethiopia. And by the end of the month, we'll have children that we're sponsoring in all 3 of those countries. So we're very excited about how God is expanding that ministry. Now, some of you may be thinking, how can Doug keep this up? I mean, what is he going to go to 4 and 5 and 6 countries on each trip? And we've recognized that this really isn't possible. As a member of the Covenant Mercies Board, we've seen this coming, and we've been diligently praying and seeking God for someone that we could hire to help on this fast-growing international side of things at Covenant Mercies. Well, it happens that we have a long-standing church member who is incredibly well-suited for this position. And this man was immediately excited when he heard this because God had placed a desire on his heart many years ago. In fact, I think it was when he was a late teenager after he'd become a Christian that he desired to work with orphans in a ministry like this. In fact, Dave Harvey had had conversations with him over a decade ago about this. We just didn't have any way to deploy him at that time. Well, this gentleman took notice when 5 years ago, Covenant Mercies began developing our church-based ministry to orphans in his home country of Uganda. He took even further notice when he saw in the announcements that we were looking for someone to fulfill this full-time job. And I am very excited to announce that in a few months, David Mayinja will be joining the staff of Covenant Mercies. Excellent. David, could you stand up? Excellent. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Excellent. We honestly could not be more thrilled at the way God has orchestrated these events to bring David to us. He's been with us for so many years. It really fulfills a dream for him as well as a desire for us to aggressively continue to care for the orphans and widows in other countries. So David, thank you for accepting this position. We are thrilled to have you on board. Well, I have one more exciting update. As many of you know, we have been trying to obtain that White House at the end of our parking lot for many years, and I am here to announce that we officially have the White House. Excellent. Yep, there it is. Talk about twists and turns and unexpected places. This really is amazing on a number of fronts. We've been praying for this house for over 10 years when we first saw this property and wondering what God might do with that. We've probably made a dozen different attempts at trying to secure this house and all kinds of negotiations. At one point, we actually just sent a letter saying, why don't you guys just give us the White House? It didn't work, though. With land being so difficult to get in this area and just the serious premium that land is going for, we are thrilled to be able to have the additional land joined to our property and also excited about the house and what that represents. Part of our plans would be to accommodate the surprising growth of Covenant Mercies, and we think we can house their entire operation on the second floor of that home. The first floor is really beautiful, and we think there's a number of different ministries and meetings that can take place there. We can also use the additional land for parking, and we're thinking about things like a dedicated prayer room. We're just excited about the potential of having that home. God has surprised us and has taken us to many unexpected places, and we believe that He's going to continue to do that in 2008 for the good of the church and for the glory of God. So why don't we stand up and let's just end our time here by worshiping the Lord. Let me pray as the band comes up, and let's just express our gratitude to God. Lord, we thank You. God, we thank You for all that has taken place. Lord, You know that this is not the work of any man. It's not the work of any pastoral team. This is Your work. You have done these things, Lord. You have gone before us. Thank You, God, for the unexpected turns, the twists, the adventure. God, thank You that we have been able to do this together as a family. Thank You that You have allowed us to be part of this glorious mission. And God, we pray that You would continue to receive exclusive glory for all that occurs in 2008 and beyond. In Jesus' name.